I'm Rebecca Poole from the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale. And while this is loading, I just want to thank my co-authors, Jamie Lee Peterson and Jorg Ludica from the Rudd Center. And I have no relationships to disclose. So weight bias and discrimination, these are very common problems in our society today against individuals who are overweight and obese. And individuals who are obese experience weight discrimination in many different domains of living, in healthcare, in employment, in educational institutions, in the media. This is something that affects both children and adults who are obese, and unfortunately it poses many consequences for both emotional and physical health, including depression, anxiety, suicidal behavior, eating disorders, binge eating, higher calorie intake, avoidance of physical activity, and all of these things really reduce quality of life for people who are affected. Unfortunately, this problem is compounded by the fact that this is a very socially acceptable form of bias in our society, and as a result, it remains very widespread and prevalent. Unfortunately, one of the most prevalent settings where this occurs is the healthcare environment, and we know that healthcare providers, especially physicians, document many negative stereotypes and attitudes towards their obese patients. Beliefs that their obese patients are lazy, lacking in willpower, that they have no discipline, that they're unintelligent and non-compliant with treatment. Now, on the flip side, when an obese patient experiences this kind of stigma from a provider in the healthcare environment, they're much more likely to avoid, prevent, and cancel future healthcare services because of these negative experiences. Now, stigma can be conveyed in different ways, and one of the ways that we see is in language about weight that providers use with patients. But very little work has examined how patients perceive the language that their providers use when it comes to weight. And despite the fact that there's really very little information on this, we're seeing emerging recommendations from public health officials about how providers should talk to their patients. And here's an example. In July of 2010, the British Public Health Minister made a national announcement that's received international media attention, urging doctors to call their overweight patients fat rather than obese. She said, "Doctors are too worried about using the term fat, but doing so will motivate people to take personal responsibility for their lifestyles. Calling them obese does not provide sufficient motivation. Just call them fat. Plain speaking, doctors will jolt people into losing weight." So as a stigma researcher, I thought about this, and you know, it's possible that this announcement was motivated by positive intentions to promote public health, but when we think about stigma and how this might impact obese patients, we can see that the potential for stigma is very real. And we know that certainly providers play a very important role in prevention and treatment of obesity, but language that is perceived to be stigmatizing or offensive can really jeopardize important discussions about weight-related health with patients. So after we saw this announcement, we thought, well, let's try to find out what people's perceptions are of weight-based language in the context of healthcare. And so we conducted several studies to examine this, to find out what kinds of language do patients feel are desirable and motivating for weight loss? What kinds of language do patients feel are stigmatizing and blaming? And how would people react if they felt that their doctor had stigmatized them because of their weight? So in our first study, we had a national sample of Americans. This was administered by an online national survey panel called Survey Sampling International. We had just over 1,000 adults with an 84% response rate. We had 60% women, 74% Caucasian, an average age of 45, an average BMI of around 28. And we had a good distribution of different body weight categories, 34% normal weight, 31% overweight, and 31% obese. And about 41% of the sample reported that at some time during their life they had been teased or stigmatized or treated unfairly because of their weight. So we presented people with this scenario. We said, imagine you were visiting your doctor for a routine checkup. The nurse has measured you and found that you were at least 50 pounds over your recommended weight. Your doctor will be in shortly to speak with you. You have a good relationship with your doctor who is committed to your health and well-being. But doctors can use different terms to describe body weight. Please indicate how desirable or undesirable you would find each of the following terms if your doctor used it to refer to your weight. We then gave them a list of 10 commonly used terms for excess weight. This list was developed by research examining both medicalized and colloquial language used for excess weight, and these were presented in random order. And we simply asked people on a 5-point scale, how desirable did they find this, how stigmatizing did they find these words, how blaming, and how motivating to lose weight. Now, I apologize for the small font here. I'm going to explain these in more detail, but I wanted to show this to show a general pattern of findings that we found across these dimensions, which is first that neutral language like weight and unhealthy weight were perceived to be most favorable across these dimensions, and words like obese, fat, and morbidly obese were least preferred. So, for example, if we look at the most desirable versus the least desirable, interestingly, these findings were consistent across sociodemographic variables, across weight categories, and regardless of whether someone had been stigmatized because of their weight. When we look at the terms that people felt were the least stigmatizing and blaming, again, neutral words, weight, unhealthy weight, weight problem, or high BMI, and most stigmatizing, fat, obese, and morbidly obese. And again, for most motivating to lose weight, unhealthy weight and overweight, and least motivating was chubby and fat. We then conducted some regression analyses to try to see if we could look at patterns between participant characteristics and these patterns of responding. We actually found very few significant differences. The only gender difference we found is that men tended to rate morbidly obese and fat as slightly less undesirable compared to women. They still rated it negatively. We found that obese adults showed higher preferences for some of the neutrally related terms. The only racial difference we found was that African Americans rated overweight to be less desirable than Caucasians. And interestingly, people who themselves expressed negative attitudes or bias towards obese people actually indicated a stronger preference for neutral terminology, which was surprising. So then we asked, well, how would you respond if a doctor stigmatized you because of your weight? What you see here are total percentages for the sample. We initially looked at this by body weight category, did not see any differences, so these percentages are combined. And what you see is that a high percentage of people would feel very badly and upset and embarrassed if this happened to them. We also see that about 23% of individuals would talk to their doctor, request that they use more sensitive language. But we also see 21% would find a new doctor, and 19% would avoid going to future medical appointments if this happened. We also see about 34% would put themselves on a strict diet, and we know from research on weight loss methodologies that severe calorie restriction rarely leads to sustainable weight loss over time. And people also said that they would feel depressed and likely eat more in response to this experience. So what we can conclude from this first study is that people really perceive natural, neutral terminology to be not only more desirable, but more motivating for weight loss and less stigmatizing and blaming. These preferences were broadly shared across groups. Even those who express weight bias have these preferences. And these findings really challenge the recommendations made by the public health minister to use the word fat. This was not at all found to be motivating for weight loss in our study. And in fact, participants rated 7 other terms to be more motivating for weight loss than the word fat. So the question we had after doing this first study is, well, what about childhood obesity? What would the preferences be when we're talking about a child's weight? And would these same findings hold for parents? And so we replicated the study, this time with a national sample of parents. These were 445 parents, children. Their children were ages 2 to 18. And like the first study, we had a nice distribution of body weight categories, 38% normal weight, 32% overweight, 26% obese. 56% did not have any overweight children, and 44% did. And this allowed us to look at potential differences depending on both the parents' and child's weight status. So like the first study, we gave them a very similar scenario. This was modified to be appropriate for parents and children. So for example, we said the nurse has measured your child and found that he or she is significantly above his or her recommended weight. And how would you find the following terms if your doctor used it to refer to your child's weight? And then again, we gave them 10 commonly used terms. There were a couple of differences from the first study. We removed morbidly obese, which is not typically used in the context of childhood obesity, and replaced that with extremely obese. And then parents were asked to rate each of these in random order according to their desirability, stigma, blame, and motivation for weight loss. And we see a very similar finding that parents really prefer the neutral terminology across the board. And again, obese, extremely obese, and fat were rated to be the worst. So Not surprisingly, based on our first study, we see that these findings are consistent again across sociodemographic characteristics and regardless of a parent's weight status or their child's weight status. The terms that were perceived to be the least stigmatizing, again, weight, unhealthy weight, high BMI, the most stigmatizing, fat, chubby, obese, extremely obese, and the same for motivating for weight loss. This time when we did regression analyses, no gender or weight differences emerged at all. And the only racial difference we found was that African-American parents rated fat to be slightly less undesirable than Caucasians. However, they still rated it to be quite negative. Interestingly here, parents who themselves had been stigmatized or teased about their weight actually rated most of the terms to be more stigmatizing than others. And this is something to think about as providers, especially when we're treating families who have been struggling with obesity. They may have increased sensitivities to some of these conversations. And then again, we found that parents who themselves demonstrated more weight bias or negative attitudes towards obese individuals rated obese, fat, and chubby as being more stigmatizing. So how would parents react if they felt their child was stigmatized about their weight from a doctor? Well, this time we see quite a higher percentage of parents who are willing to speak to a doctor to say, please use more sensitive language in the presence of my child. But we also see higher percentages who are going to find a new doctor and who are going to avoid future medical appointments, which is especially concerning when we're talking about childhood obesity. So what are the implications here? Well, clearly, we know that providers play a very important role in the prevention and treatment of obesity, but language that patients perceive to be stigmatizing or offensive or blaming can jeopardize those important discussions that providers have about weight-related health. And what our findings suggest is if providers can use more neutral, supportive terminology, that they can really facilitate productive discussions about weight that can be free of bias. Now, even though we found very consistent findings across sociodemographic characteristics, it's very important to realize that there are always going to be individual differences and preferences. And so what we encourage providers to do is to really ask their patients what language they feel most comfortable using. So as a provider, I might say to my patient, let's talk about your weight today and how it's affecting your health. Are there specific terms or language you'd like me to use while we have this discussion? So let's talk about directions for future research. We were really looking here at hypothetical scenarios, so this research needs to be replicated with actual patient-provider interactions. And because we were relying on self-report data, we want to see if these kinds of findings can be replicated with observational data. Similarly, we were really asking about people's behavioral intentions. So whether or not a provider's language about weight actually affects patient outcomes, either positive or negative, remains to be seen. And even though we didn't see any racial differences, clearly we need to replicate this with more ethnically diverse samples. I was speaking to one of the speakers before this session and wondering whether we would have the same results with a Latino population. So in summary, there are numerous obstacles that obesity poses in terms of prevention and treatment for providers, but having discussions about body weight with patients should not be one of those obstacles. And to avoid that being an obstacle, as providers, we need to really consider the weight-based terminology and language that we use when we have these discussions, and we need to think about this more broadly in the context of public health interventions to ensure that the messages that we're communicating are supportive and that we're not stigmatizing or shaming the very population that we're trying to target. And finally, we obviously know that it's critical for providers to be discussing weight-related health with their patients, but what our findings suggest is that how providers approach this conversation is just as important. If you have any questions or want to learn more about the work that we do on weight bias, please visit our website at theyalerudcenter.org. Thank you.